Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
Podcast, baby!
You're listening to the Financial Guys.
This is the sickness that is liberalism. Basically, where Democrats run anything, it's turning into a disgusting wasteland.
People like Andrew Cuomo, people like Barack Obama, people like that have no business experience or skill whatsoever. These are the folks that are making regulations that you and I have to abide by.
Because they're going to tax you and fee you and regulate you to death, and you're going to talk a big game, but you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going anywhere.
We need more Donald Trumps. That's what we need.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. This is the place where money meets politics. We do manage money for a living. If you need our help, of course, reach out to us as a resource Monday through Friday. We are typically managing money, but whether it comes to the format of the radio show that we do each and every week in Western New York and down into South Florida, or our podcast, we try to have a lot of fun with it, place where money meets politics. It's funny, I was listening to that intro, which is a newer intro. Kelsey just put it together. And, you know, you were talking about the liberals. I think that's where we should start. It's funny because I'm always torn on whether to start with like a Bernie Sanders or California. And I say sometimes California because I live in New York, and the only state that always makes me feel good is California. although I do think New York, Andrew Cuomo, I think the only thing he does is sit back and look at how messed up California is and says, hey, look at what they're doing over there. We should do it. Yep. LA County, Glenn, we'll start there. LA County votes to ban official travel to Alabama in response to the abortion ban. Now, the first thing I would ask is, who the hell wants anybody from California and Alabama anyways?
Right. I mean, this is the stuff they're working on. So let's just keep in mind now that California, once again, I'll remind everybody, has the highest disparity between the rich and the poor, has the highest poverty rate in the country.
A rat problem now.
Has the highest homeless population, right, in LA, right? Has a rat problem, right? So they brought back typhus. Nice job, right? So this is the stuff they're worrying about is traveling to Georgia because they passed a heartbeat bill. Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, what was happening here, though, on the abortion issue is there's really a hard line now drawn in the sand. I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. We had this uneasy, comfort with where everything was, and we kind of lived like that for 20, 30 years, or really since Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
And suddenly the liberals had to step up and flex their muscles and say, okay, you know, we'll see your ace, and we'll give you this king, and we'll, you know, throw this on top and push the envelope all the way to full term. And, of course, this year seeing the reaction the other way. But the stuff that the liberals are, you know, it's all about feel good. Let's pass something. No travel ban to Georgia. You know, now you're talking Netflix. I heard Rochelle sent this to us, is talking about, you know, pulling their programming from Georgia. And this is, you know, we're going to continue to get more and more division of this country over things like this. But liberals are nuts. There's no question.
What's funny about that, Glenn, is using Netflix, who's going to flex their muscles. And we're going to move out of Alabama because it's okay. Where are you going to move to? Why am I not New York? Why not California, right? You're not going to move to New York or California. Give me a break, right? You're not going to go to one of those states. You know why? Because they're going to tax you and fee you and regulate you to death. And you're going to talk a big game, but you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going anywhere, right? And to your point with abortion, I've been saying this about the political parties now. To me, I love it. And what I mean by I love it is you have a real clear, you know, there's no muddy water anymore. It's okay. Capitalism, socialism. Which party are you going to vote for? Yeah. Where are you going to go? Now, again, the Republican Party, pretty weak, right? That's one of the arguments, but they're not socialist. I don't think any, you know, at least the Republicans that I know are not saying, hey, we definitely want higher taxes. We want more regulations. Sometimes they get voted in and sit back and do nothing to fix all the high regulations and taxes. But, you know, but the same is true with the abortion. You nailed it, right? The muddy water was, well, we're okay with an abortion as long as it happens right away, right? Because it's not really a baby yet. But now it's, hey, well, let's make that baby comfortable after it's born. Let's abort it as it's coming out of the womb. That's a different story. And you're starting to see a lot of people who were pro-choice now go, that's disgusting. I mean, that's really sick. right? And for LA County to say we're going to ban travel to Alabama, who cares? I mean, most of you crazy nut jobs that live in LA, they don't want you in Alabama. They don't want you.
Let's be honest. How many federal officials are traveling from California to Alabama? Like, yeah. It's not like the tourist hotbed. Like, hey, let's vacation from LA to. They don't want anything to do with Alabama. They don't want to be anywhere near those types of people. That in their mind, those people are, you know, the lower social economic class of the country. They're not the highbrows living in San Francisco or right. the elites in LA. You know, they're not, if they're traveling anywhere, it's to New York City to hobnob with other elites that are on, you know, that are plugged in, so to speak, you know, to use a term from our last week's guest.
Yeah. It's funny you said the elites, because the other article I grabbed was Beverly Hills now bans the sale of tobacco products, except where the wealthy smoke.
Yeah. Okay.
High class top 1%ers smoking lounges, they got an exemption for it, but everybody else, all the gas stations, everybody else won't be able to sell cigars anymore. So what does that mean? That means that Nancy Pelosi will be just fine if she wants to go into her top 1% lounge and have a cigar. That's okay, right? Bernie Sanders, there's pictures of him drinking and smoking cigars with the Russians with his shirt off. So if he wants to go shirtless in California to his top 1% club, which Bernie's, you know, multimillionaire, he'll have no problem qualifying for, no problem. But the servants that serve these people, the folks that work for minimum wage, for the Pelosi family, they're not going to be able to enjoy a cigar anywhere because they're just not going to qualify for the wealthy club. It's a joke.
That's always how it is. So those that are the elites, you know, we want to ban air travel, but not for the Acacia Cortezes or the whatever that want to fly over the world, right?
Right.
You know, you got John Kerry voting for a yacht tax and then moving his yacht famously from Massachusetts over to Rhode Island that didn't have the yacht tax, right? So these people are constantly imposing things on the rest of us and they exempt themselves from it so they can still enjoy the yachts, the planes, the comforts of modern living, so to speak, that we all enjoy. You know, they still deserve it, but we should suffer. You look at the whole green energy thing and the whole green global warming thing. And look at New York State, for example. Every single taxpayer or every single person, not even taxpayer, every single person in New York State that has a utility bill, has a natural gas feed to their house or an electric bill to the house, they all pay a little bit more in utility costs because there's a surcharge that's passed along per kilowatt hour for traditional energy. They didn't put it as a separate line item so nobody can see it, but they passed that along to the national fuel gases and all these others so that they can fund their green energy, you know, windmills and solar panels and give money to their buddies and, you know, get the kickbacks and around it goes. It doesn't affect the Governor Cuomo. He's got plenty of money. It's not a big deal if he's got to pay a surcharge, but that little old, late, you know, 80-year-old widow that's living on her Social Security and a small pension from her, you know, deceased husband that's struggling with property taxes is paying for that so that Cuomo can feel good that we're going towards a green environment. It's the most ridiculous thing. It really is.
Funny you said that, because if you look at our electric bills, you look at our water bills, in Western New York. Now we have Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, right in our backyard. Our water bills are more expensive than that of Las Vegas. Our electric bills are the highest in the nation. Yet we live right next to Niagara Falls. So this electricity is being pumped out. Now, the beauty of it, you mentioned the global environmentalist nut jobs. These are the same folks, by the way, that told us 6 and 8 years ago that Lake Ontario and Lake Erie would be dried up. Do you remember that? They said the problem is going to be global warming.
Right.
The Great Lakes are going bye-bye. They're going to dry up. Well, guess what? Now the problem is we're getting too much rain. Right, which is remarkable to me, because now you've got Lake Ontario that's high. The water levels are higher. Okay, that's great, right? But why would my water bill not be going down? If the water levels are higher, isn't there an opportunity to maybe even sell some of that water to a place like Las Vegas?
I don't know.
It's unreal. It's really unreal. It's almost like God is saying to them, wow, look at how dumb you are. You think that you're going to be able to control the environment, so – well, you're telling me that Lake Erie and Lake Ontario are going to be empty in a few years. You know what? We'll just have a bunch of rain and fill it right up to its highest level in 100 years.
You know, I was thinking about last week's show and our guest that was talking about, you know, people not understanding the methodology or the cause and effect, so to speak, right? And I think I'm hoping that people are starting to see this in places like Seattle, places like LA. I just saw a tweet video, and I wish I could figure out a way to save these videos that I see on Twitter. I have no idea how to do it other than to store them on Twitter, but I can't seem to save. I can save pictures, but I can't save these stupid videos. I need a 15-year-old kid or something. Maybe my daughter could help me. But I saw one about Seattle, right? And all of these elites now, they've created this environment in Seattle. They've raised minimum wage to $15 a share. They've shown liberal compassion. They've eased up on the crime. They've made things easier. A lot of things that de Blasio is doing in New York City. And now they have this, and I should play the video. Maybe we can splice it in here. It's absolutely amazing. The results. So all the business owners are complaining. There's tent cities everywhere, drug problems everywhere. So all these liberal cities now have these major drug problems. You know, San Francisco's got these needles and homeless problems. LA's got these needles and these homeless problems. Seattle now, all these liberal bastions, and yet they're still advocating for open borders. You'd think they would wise up and say, wait a minute now. 5 years ago, we were in good shape. 5 years ago, Seattle was the place to visit. You know, 20 years ago, Seattle was the place to be. 30 years ago, it was one of the hottest markets real estate-wise in the country with the grunge rock and all that stuff coming out in the late 90s, right? Yeah. Now you got people going, I'm embarrassed for people to come here. So you'd think that people would say, what changed in Seattle, huh? Yeah. What did we do differently about 5 years ago? Oh, we tried to complete liberal progressive policies. Yeah. And look, now here are the results of those policies. So I think the residents agree that where we were 5 or 10 years ago is way better than where we are today, but yet there's still not a connection between the cause and effect. And to me, it's like you could explain this to a third grader. Like, we did this and this happened. Okay, well, don't do any more of that.
Well, I'll tell you,
vote for the same people to do more of that. I don't get it.
Specifically, the places you mentioned, right? Seattle and California, there's this false sense of security with those places because you do have some of the bigger headquarters. So you've got Microsoft in Seattle, right? You've got Facebook in California, right?
Intel, so there's Portland.
But here's what's funny about that is when you really start to study those areas, what's happening is the small and medium middle-sized companies are moving out, right? And so those areas become more and more dependent on this big behemoth. It's really almost very similar to the dynamics of the wealth there, right? You've got this top 1%, you know, the women of Beverly Hills, right, who are very, very wealthy, and they're just going to be just fine. They'll build walls around their area so they won't see tent city and they won't bother with it. The same is true of the dynamics of the economies there. You start to see the small companies, the middle companies, they're leaving. They're moving. They're moving to Nevada. They're moving to Florida. I've got an article, we'll talk about it after the break, about the amount of money that is moving into Florida. It just blows your mind. I mean, you know people are moving there, but then you start to think, is it hundreds of thousands of dollars? Is it millions? No, it's billions of dollars, right? And so you look at the dynamics of a Seattle who has Microsoft, yet they're losing all these small and middle-sized companies like they're losing their middle class. And what are you left with? You're left with the poor getting the scraps and the extremely wealthy. It's really sad.
Yep.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Maybe do you have that video? Maybe we can play it on the other side.
I'll have to play it off my phone. I don't know how to pull up the I can pull up I saved it as like a bookmark, right? So I don't know how to pull up bookmarks on the actual Twitter web app. So
we'll see. We got plenty of stuff to talk about here. Mike Lomas,
definitely tech challenges,
guys. Place where money meets politics. We'll be back. Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenwiggle Financial Guys podcast. And if you want to learn more about the Financial Guys, use our website, financialguys.com. Whether you need help with managing your money, you can request an appointment there. We have offices in Western New York, down in South Florida, continuing to grow. And of course, tune into some of our radio shows, whether it's Western New York or pretty much literally a big chunk of Florida, a big chunk of South Florida on the East Coast and going all the way over to Naples. So go to our website for more details. This is the place where money meets politics. We manage money for a living, but have a ton of fun with this show. Before the break, we were talking about California. LA County votes to ban official travel ban to Alabama. Glenn, you were talking about a documentary, Seattle is Dying. And it's not just California. It's You know, basically where Democrats run anything, it's turning into a disgusting wasteland. And, you know, we've said the results of government policy, big government, right? The intentions are always to have a clean place. They all want to save the world. They want to save the environment. Yet it ends up being the dirtiest, most disgusting places in the country. LA example of that, right? Where now they've got a rodent problem. Why? Because there's massive amounts of garbage everywhere. People living in the street, massive amounts of poverty. And I say massive and compared to the rest of the country. You know, when you look at places like Texas, where it's almost impossible not to get a job. But you want to play a little snippet of Seattle is dying. And this place, as you pointed out, just a bunch of years ago, and it's amazing. We've been talking about this for the last few podcasts, that it's really amazing to see how fast socialism can destroy stuff. It's amazing to see how these policies of redistributing somebody's money, you can take a place like Seattle, a very wealthy, beautiful, beautiful place, and start to destroy it relatively quickly.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It doesn't take long. It can be less than one generation. And in the case of Seattle, you know, you look at even 5 years ago, it was a different place. 10 years ago, definitely different place, certainly 20. Seattle now is, and KOMO News in Seattle did an hour-long documentary called Seattle is Dying. And I'm going to play a clip from Tucker Carlson because he pulled out a little piece of this. And the snippets that he pulled are perfect. So let me just play a little piece.
Ask anyone who's been to a lot of cities around the world. They will tell you Seattle, Washington is one of the most beautiful places on this planet. It's also politically one of the most liberal. And as a direct result of that, Seattle is now a haven for homelessness and drug use. Now, the documentary by the local news station KOMO warns of the consequences. Normal middle-class people cannot live in Seattle anymore because the city is dying.
The city mayor doesn't give the cops authority. That's the problem.
This is one of the most beautiful regions in the entire world. And right now, with lack of a better word, it looks like
it's infuriating. Every camp I walk into, there was a weapon, multiple weapons. I found modified weapons. I was constantly on the side of the road talking to people that were swinging machetes.
I have not met anyone else on the street who's not in some phase of addiction. I mean, of use, of serious use. And I think that that's the starting point. You just have to address that. You have to figure that out.
You said, call 911. Do you understand that the police have told us to vote you all out so that they can do their jobs?
So that's just a little bit of a clip. I mean, that really truly is amazing. What's happened in Seattle in just 5 years, it doesn't take 50 years. Mm. And that's why when you look at this country, and you're right, we have these really defined line now between black and white as far as socialism versus capitalism, and the really stark contrast. When you look at the places that have embraced lower regulation, lower taxes, more freedom, more liberty, except when it comes to things like crime, where they're actually prosecuting crime. You think about Dallas, right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. The attorney general in Dallas now has said, if you commit a crime of theft, if you're shoplifting, up to $750, we're probably going to look the other way. We're not going to bother to prosecute that.
Beyond scary.
What do you think they're going to get? I mean, come on, Dallas. What do you think is going to be the results of that policy? I mean,
how dumb could you be, though? I mean, who says that?
Like, but 5 years from now, they'll be looking back going, how did this happen?
So for us,
that's liberals, right? That's why we always say liberalism is truly has to be a mental disorder, right? Yeah. Because we'll talk 5 years from now, look back at Dallas and go, and they'll be going, how did this happen? Look at Seattle. How did we get here? There's rampant drug use and homelessness. How did we get here? I don't know.
I'll tell you, and to that point, and to that other point with the drug use and the rampant drug use, I don't know. How about we secure our borders, considering 90% of the drug problem is flowing through the lower Mexican, you know, the Mexican border right there. Right. How about we secure the border and we take a strong stance at not allowing a lot of this stuff in? You know, the availability of some of this stuff is just too easy, right? So we let it walk over the border, we distribute it through our communities, and then we wonder why they're wastelands.
So think about this. What's changed in the last 10 to 15 years in this country? What are the major changes, right? Well, we had Obama come in 08, and what did Obama do? He started Dreamers, right? And this open border, come to this country, right? And what happened? We had a massive amount of people come from Latin and South America flooding our borders, right? We have wide open borders that Democrats, we have them on video. You just go back to 2006, 2007, before the 08 election, all the Democrats are talking about, we must secure the border because it was already a problem even under Bush, right? It's been a problem since the 80s, right? So we know the problem. But what did Obama do? Obama threw open the gates and said, come to America. We're not going to throw you out. You can, if you just get here, we'll give you all this free. And what did they bring with them? As Trump said very accurately, they're not sending their best and their brightest.
Yeah. The attorneys and the electricians and the plumbers and the doctors are not sneaking over the border.
That's right. They're not riding on the top of the train, right?
I'll tell you, look at the welfare, by the way. And by the way, look at the welfare and the drug abuse, and you'll see both of them start to move in this direction, right? The attitude of, hey, you need to go get a job and fend for yourself and raise your family. It was all, don't worry about it. The government will do it for you. And by the way, if you're not a success, it's not your fault. It's the government's fault. It's the people. It's the man's fault, right?
Right.
Really sad to see that work ethic sort of just go right out the window. And when you looked at the work ethic go out the window, the drug abuse came with it.
How is this not clear, though, to everybody? How is this not clear as day to say, wait a minute, all of a sudden we open our borders and we have this follow through on this widespread heroin epidemic? Now, it didn't start when Obama was elected in 08. Don't get me wrong. It certainly goes back way farther than that. But it certainly has accelerated. If you look at a chart, you'll see the acceleration of deaths by heroin and fentanyl overdoses have skyrocketed. At the same time, we've thrown our borders wide open. How do people not see the cause and effect? And I'll tell you what the real sad thing is that drug addiction and overdoses on fentanyl and heroin and all these types of opiates and drugs, it doesn't choose liberals or conservatives to affect. Sadly, everybody knows somebody who's been affected by this. Yeah. Everybody, right? Yeah. It doesn't choose black or white. It doesn't choose Hispanic or wealthy or poor. And sadly, it's affecting everybody in every community. Liberal kids and liberal families and Democrat families, their kids are dying just like conservative families, the kids are dying. How can we not see this as a country and say securing the border is a no-brainer? And yet we have another court case, right, that just blocked Trump now from using that $1 billion of whatever the security, you know, the military funding is to be able to use that for the – it's insanity to me.
How could you not look at a Venezuela and say, look, we don't want to go in that direction?
Right.
And then you look at a Bernie Sanders, by the way. Bernie comes out this week, says he'll probably raise payroll and income taxes to pay for Medicare for all.
Yeah, that'll help.
Because every other government program, Bernie, that you guys have run has been so successful.
Right.
Why would we not have another one, right? So let me get this straight. We cut taxes in this country. We have GDP rates now at almost double what they were under Obama.
Right.
And we have unemployment rates at 3.6%, and you want to go right back to doing what you're doing. To your point, which blows my mind, we asked the gentleman that was able to get out of Venezuela last week, like, do you ever see it ending? And the, you know, somebody like you and I, we go, yeah, I mean, it's cause and effect, right? Like, what we're doing is not working, so let's change it. It can't possibly get worse. They can't possibly do more of it.
Right.
But yeah, they do.
And they do. And they vote them right back in.
They're coming from a place like the city of Buffalo. You'd say the graduation rates are 35%. There's no way they would vote for the same people. Oh, yeah. Well, there's no way they would do it 2 years in a row or 4 years in a row. How about decades in a row?
How about
decades, right?
Yeah.
How about decades? Now, you've got rodent problem, a trash problem in L.A. It's turning into a disgusting – but in San Francisco, we've got crap apps, which tell you where human beings – where are turning into animals and they're crapping on the streets and where to avoid. And you'd think at some point they would say, look, this wasn't this way 20 years ago, but they don't.
Right.
It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And now what their game plan is Bernie says, hey, see what we're doing in San Francisco. See what we're doing in Seattle. Why don't we do that across the entire country?
Right.
Really like what's happening there, right? New York City, by the way, New York State, where did I do with that article? New York State lost. Oh, Florida wins big as wealth states. Think about this, Glenn. The Sunshine State nets $17.2 billion from inbound moves last year. $17.2 billion.
With a B.
Yeah. New York State, $8.4 billion leaving. So A big chunk of that $17 billion is coming from New York State. $8.4 billion leaving New York State alone.
Wow. Right. So let's try that on the national level, right? So, I mean, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. And that's what is just it's so frustrating to me. Like, what are we doing in these college classrooms, in these schools, that people don't look at this and go, well, this is crazy, right?
Right.
Cause and effect is so easy to spot and easy to see. And yet we don't want to acknowledge it. And here's the real sad thing. We've invited people like Darius Pridgeon on to discuss maybe looking at things from a different perspective. Darius, of course, for those not in Buffalo, is on the Common Council for Buffalo. We've invited him on several times. He hasn't even returned a phone call to say, yeah, I'll come on. What I'd love to do with him is say, why don't we try something different? Why doesn't the East Side support different politicians that are going to support different things? You tried the same thing for 50 years. They won't even have the discussion. That's the frustrating part is
radically different.
They won't even acknowledge and discuss different ideas, right? Yeah. So all they can do is shout down, well, I'm not going on there because it's racist or whatever.
Racist.
They won't even have a discussion about helping themselves by having an open mind and discussing maybe looking at places that have embraced free market capitalism, like Houston, like Florida, like all of Texas, and how they're flourishing, you know, how they're doing well, how the, it just, they just don't get it. Why won't they at least have the conversation?
I'll tell you, the next recession, by the way, is going to hit some of those states big time. And we're going to get one. It's just a matter of when, not if, right? We go through economic cycles, next recession. Let me just end on a positive note. And the positive note is Bernie Sanders went after the CEO of Disney because he said that, you know, they're not paying out enough. And he actually, Bob Iger, got a backbone. He said to Bernie Sanders, we created 11,000 new jobs at Disneyland in the past decade. Right. And our company has created 18,000 jobs in the U.S. over the last 5 years. How many jobs have you created?
Good
what
answer.
Have you contributed to the U.S. economy? I absolutely love when a CEO finally stands up and says enough is enough.
The sad thing is he supports the Democrats, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, right?
They'll vote for him. Yeah. Well, I do think a lot of these CEOs, unfortunately, they try to play both sides of it. Donald talked about that during the election campaign. He said, oh, yeah, I was friends with everybody, so I was trying to get money, which is a shame because the corporate welfare is just as bad as the individual welfare. But, you know, good for him for standing up and saying enough is enough. But the point is, yeah, what exactly have you created, Bernie? I mean, you've got a few million-dollar net worth. You've got multiple homes. You've got a beautiful Audi in your garage, an inefficient gas-guzzling hot rod. What have you created? What is your worth to society besides an awful book that is only being read by a few folks? I mean, what have you done to create wealth in this country or create jobs or make things better? And the answer is nothing. The answer is nothing. Not a thing.
Some of these folks have been career politicians. Bernie Sanders is one of them. Chuck Schumer is another, right? These people have been in politics since they were 23 years old. They got out of college and they got right into politics. Bernie started out, I believe, as his local common counsel and worked his way up from there.
Yeah.
Their entire career on the taxpayer dole. And the thing is, they've got the nerve to look at a Disney or any sort of corporation and say, you should be paying your people more. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you? You haven't created a single thing. How dare you? Have no idea. You've been on the government take your whole life.
The best was Hillary said the same thing when she was running against Trump. The inequality of pay between women and men, and then of course the amount of money. And then when they looked into her, what she was paying and who she hired for the campaign, she actually hired a considerably more amount, a larger amount of men, and she paid the men more. And in fact, some of these people were barely making over minimum wage.
Right. Kamala Harris.
She had $100 million net worth. She could have very easily taken her little arms and somehow snuck them into her own pockets and paid these people more. She could have very easily said, okay, look, I'm going to hire more women than men. Didn't. She didn't do that.
Well, the rules are for other people. Again, going back to the beginning of the podcast, the rules are not for them. The rules are for everybody else to play by. You look at Kamala Harris, I was going to say, she's running for president, right? She's proposed a legislation as part of her platform that would force another regulation that would force businesses to pay men and women equally. Now, no mention about actual like job skills or qualities, right?
That's right.
And here's the best part. They analyze her own campaign, there's still a discrepancy where she pays men more than women.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course they'll exempt their own political campaigns or they'll exempt Congress or they'll exempt whatever. And
none of them.
The rest of us, just like the sexual harassment thing, which, by the way, we have an awesome video coming out. If you are a business owner, And especially if you're a business owner, likely odds are you're a conservative, right? 90% of us are in the conservative spectrum. Well, in New York, because of all of the sexual harassment that's gone on in the New York State Legislature, not to mention the attorney generals, Eric Schneiderman choking his girlfriends and Elliot Spitzer, of course, client number nine, right? They impose this new regulation on all of us. So we've tried to make it easy for you. And we did basically a video. They suggested, our HR people suggested that we use real life examples and humor. And so guess what? We used both. And our real life examples happen to be Wiener, Spitzer, Schneiderman, right? Yes. All of the liberals, Weinstein, right? All the liberals that have been accused and in some cases convicted.
You'll get a very good understanding as to what not to do from the folks like Spitzer.
That's right. That'll be released soon.
Typically in the workplace. So
that'll be released soon. So you can show that to your employees without having to go through the effort of teaching them and doing it yourself. So that'll be up on our website probably in the next 30 days at financialguys.com.
All right. So that's it. Go to our website, financialguys.com. If you need anything, place where money meets politics. We have a lot of fun with this show. But if you certainly need some help with your financial planning, use this as a resource. If you think like us, we get to work with folks that think like us Monday through Friday. On behalf of Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, we will see you Saturday. Tune in to WFTL down in South Florida and News Radio 930 WBEN, 1 to 2 down in South Florida, 1 to 3 in Western New York.
Thank you again for listening, and have a great rest of the week.